welcome. My name is Sharon, and I serve the village as education lead. And it's my privilege to introduce Kirsten Lauterbach. Wait, Kirsten presented the message last night, so some of you know a little bit about her, but she currently lives and works in Madagascar. Mm-hmm. Is the country coordinator for YAGA.
Yes.
Young Adults in Global Ministry. So we're excited to hear and learn about Madagascar more than a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you play yourself?
What's that?
Oh, right.
I think they said they were over there.
No, this.
The fluorescent. Bang.
I thought he got there.
Yeah.
Well,
you
I want to see him.
Well, if, yeah, see some of that.
I'm going to use that little video.
Oops. Yeah, so this is just a kind of a more or less a filler for our time in between to give you some sort of sense of Madagascar. Who's been to Madagascar? And 20 years there? 25 altogether.
25 altogether.
All right, and how long were you there?
3 weeks.
3 weeks. 3 weeks, 25 years. I've been there 2.5 years. Yeah, so who am I? I'm going to talk a little bit about that first. As Sharon was saying, I'm Kirsten. I run a program called the YAGM, which stands for Young Adults in Global Mission. I don't run the entire program. I run the program in Madagascar. This is a ministry of the ELCA. We send young adults out to actually 11 different countries. Madagascar is one of them. The young adults are aged 21 to 29. And so if you know any young adults in that range or realm, I'd love to talk to them or get them connected with another young adult in Global Missions. Person, either alumni or staff. We are in, the countries vary a lot. We're in UK. I was trying to see who's up there high. We're in the UK, Central Europe, Jerusalem, Senegal, Rwanda, South Africa, Madagascar, Cambodia, Australia, Mexico, Argentina, Uruguay. So very different. And today I just wanted to talk to you about Madagascar, a little bit about the country, the fact that it is indeed more than a movie. Did anyone see the movie, by the way?
Yeah.
There was only one thing authentic about it, and that was the lemur.
Well, there's three authentic things. You're jumping ahead of me, but We'll get there. Yeah. So this looks familiar. We all know this. So there are actually three authentic things from the movie.
Yeah.
It is true it is an island.
Yeah.
It is true that there are lemurs. And it is true that there are fusa that like to eat lemur. So they got those three facts right. Beyond that, none of those guys are, you can't find them anywhere on the island. Just to make sure you're clear on that.
Not even in the zoo.
What's that?
Not even in the zoo.
The zoos aren't quite the same as we have here. So no, not even in the zoos, for sure. So, before we get too much further, though, into Madagascar, this more than a movie, I want to encourage you to ask questions, both for clarity and or something that just comes to mind. I'm very open to that. I think I'm actually more comfortable in a dialogue setting than a lecture setting, if I'm completely honest. So feel free to pipe up to ask any questions. And to start... One thing I love about Madagascar is that when we come together, everyone greets each other. So how do you say a greeting in Madagascar? I'm going to say, you say salama. So repeat after me, salama.
Salama.
All right. And we go and we shake everyone's hand. not like in a superficial way like we're going to do right now, but as we enter into a space, we're going to make sure we shake everyone's hand, right? So often, too, it's more of a lower the eyes, even if you're showing respect, hand under here, not tight, no griping, just we're just acknowledging. So stand up. Let's shake a couple hands. Salama. 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 Yeah, salama. So, well, under the, you can kind of hit, you hold your elbow if you want. Salama.
Salama.
Don't look at eyes.
You say it, don't look at
eyes? No.
Ah, salama, sir. All right. And then we get ready to start a meeting, and what would we say? Do you remember from last night? Which word? Which are the two words we might use? Well, Basha would be a word of encouragement. I appreciate that. But we might say, come, mandrusu. So enter in, mandrusu, mandrusu. And no church meeting in Madagascar that I've ever been at would be right without starting with a prayer. Would you pray with me? Good and gracious God, thank you for bringing us together today to talk about this wonderful and crazy country, all the beautiful diversity and all the challenges that it contains. Lord, be with us in our thoughts and in our hearts. Keep us curious and keep us listening and keep us just together. We pray this all in your most holy and gracious name. Amen.
Amen.
Ah, I was going to ask you if you knew where it was. I kind of gave it away. I kind of forget that every single time I do this, I do a presentation with this. So yeah, Madagascar. It takes a little while to get there for those of you who've not been. So from you fly somewhere in the United States, usually are often to Paris and then straight into Madagascar is actually how I've flown. The flight from Paris to Madagascar is about 11 hours. And however long it takes you to get from here to Paris. And a nice little layover in between. Yeah, it's kind of on the other side of the world. Yeah. So I wanted to talk a little bit about some stories and the people of Madagascar. This is a group of women that that I know. They're the women leaders. Some of them are actually retiring and phasing out, but they have been the ones running all the women's events for the church for quite a long time. They're gathered here to get at an event in Tuliar to celebrate Madame Janet, who is the one in yellow in the middle. Do you recognize any of them?
No, okay.
Anyway, this is Turumari is a name that sometimes comes up in people's knowledge. But anyway, Madame Janet has been a really special person in my walk and understanding. She is one to share things very directly and clearly and culturally. She is always somebody who hosts one of our volunteers. I had a situation developing, though, in Tuliar where I needed some support and some help. And she was the only one I could think of to talk to. So I went to her and I said, Madame Janet, I'm so sorry, but I need to speak to you very directly. I cannot mince any words. I want to make sure that we communicate this situation and I understand what to do. Before I even get any further, she says to me, let me tell you. The people up in the mountains, which is the center of the country, and that's where I live, the people up in the mountains, you know, they have many things to get around and to work through. They have to go up and down and around and over. They lose sight of where they're headed. They can't see it all the time. So they can never and never do speak directly. Because there's something in their cat in their way. She says, but I live on the coast where we can see everything that's coming for miles. Don't worry. We can talk about whatever it is that you want. And we did. But I love that analogy of the landscape affecting the culture and how people understand themselves in a place. And there they are. The landscape is very different throughout the island. There's a lot of rice. We'll talk about that later. There's a lot of hills. In the center of the island, this is kind of what just a snippet picture of what you might see with the rice fields. But it's also a really busy place. This is actually just up the street from where I live in the capital city. So you see people, things that are very developed and very chaotic. And then you can go and take a boat out towards, this is going out to the west side of the country, and see things get very, very simple. There are many different tribes and traditions in Madagascar. We say that there, you know, there's one language that is used, but there are 22 different tribes, so there end up being 22 different dialects and 22 different customs and different ways of dressing. People in Madagascar, some dress very traditionally, like some of the cloth and some of the hats that I have out here. Other people dress very Western, is up to Paris runway fashion, whatever you can find. But the tribes are very important. The different cultures are very important and part of the identity of the Malagasy people. This picture and a couple more that I'm going to show you are taken from a cultural night. So many times you get together, and the big thing is to share the different dances and the different cultures and the different dress of the island. So this is just a group that dresses similar to this to the north. Then we have Mirna folks coming together. They are the people who live in the highlands. They're the ones that have to work around all the mountains. And here's another example of folks that live down in the south called Antandrui. And there, Antandrui is something about people who dance with the sword. You can see him dancing with the sword. And it's only the men who dance with the sword. The women don't dance with the sword. Yeah. And here's another group, the Antimuru, down in the east. So, and like I said, this is attire for special occasions, for concerts, and sometimes this is just daily life. In this particular part of the country, you will see women walking around with this hat all the time because this hat, and you feel free to look at any of these at any point if you want, but this hat is what says, I'm a married woman. So I don't wear this one. Yeah, anyone wants to look at that? But it's not just the dress that's kind of fun and fascinating, and this is just four of the different, 22 different tribes. That are present. Music is an incredibly important part of Malagasy culture. This is a little snippet of sound from the northern part of the country. I'm going to let you listen, see what you think. And these people that just came up, you throw money in the hat to show support or fundraising or whatever, but usually just to show support of the choir that might be singing or dancing at the time. You see there's a cross up at the up front. This is not in a church. And it's not, and I don't know it's not in a church because the cross is there. I know that it's not in a church because we don't, in Madagascar, there's no dancing in church. So as much as it might, just in that little snippet, you might have gotten a sense that people like to dance, like to sing. I hope you did anyway. As soon as you go to the church, none of that. None of that. Stay still. Don't move. So this is a church choir that wanted to do this presentation, so they need to take their church choir to a different location. And this happens to be a school, another Christian school that they were able to do it at. But yeah, so it's kind of interesting. And here is another, this is the same group of people, but they're singing another style. And this is from the middle of the island, the Bitsleo. This concert, and I've been to a number of them. This is just the most recent one I went to, and quite frankly, it was the one that I got. I had the best seating angle and the best footage, so I'm using my recordings from this one. But this was a fundraising concert they put on. This is a youth choir, and youth choir there could mean like 16 to 35, 16 to 40, something like that, right? Youth is defined a little bit differently over there. It's kind of fun. And they put on this concert as a fundraiser. Do you have any idea what they're fundraising for? Could you guess?
Church.
A church?
School.
A school?
A trip.
A trip? Somewhere in the middle of all that. So they're fundraising for a trip so that they can go evangelize in the countryside. How about that? So, see what else we have. So there's a lot of variety going around the island, going from the different landscapes, the different cultures, the different dress, the different sounds and songs and music. But there's also some things that are absolutely standard throughout Madagascar. And we'll kind of talk through those now too. Andiamanacha's God. Fiavanana is relations or relationships. Ankizi, kids. Vari, rice. Umbi, cows. Fali, happy. Mura, mura. This you need to know. Say this after me. Mura, mura.
Mura, mura.
What's that sound like? What do you think that means?
Grandma.
Huh?
Grandma, mother's mother.
Mura, mura. Mura, mura, slowly, slowly. Take it easy. Don't worry about it.
Makumba matata.
Yeah, mura, mura. Absolutely. I love that word. I'm trying to learn what it means. So the missionaries, we have one amongst us. A couple of them. I guess I'm one too, right? So the missionaries have been in Madagascar for many years. Let's just talk about Lutheran missionary history a little bit. The Norwegians were there kind of first, and this is just really broad brush strokes. 1867 was the first Malagasy worship service. And that was held in the middle of the country in a place called Betafu. That is 150 years this year, right? 167. So the FLM, the Malagasy Lutheran Church that we work with, is right now celebrating not only the 500-year anniversary of the Reformation, right? But together with that, the 150-year of their time as Lutherans on the island. So Lutheranism has been around for a long time. The Norwegians came, like I said, 1867. The Americans around 1888. I think that had a lot to do with those Norwegian-American connections that still exist, right? May existed even stronger back then. The Danes came in sometime around there, and, or sometime after and around, as far as an official missionary organization. And up until today, we are what are considered to the Malagasy Lutheran Church the three traditional partners. And the Norwegians being the biggest and the most substantial, the Americans, and then the Danes. So this is taken from just outside of Manambaro in the south, which was is a place that houses a wonderful hospital that was an even more wonderful hospital in years past, which has very strong connections to the Americans and the American missionaries that have been there before. So God never leaves. And it seems the missionaries never do either. So I'm there, and this is a group that came to visit us in, when did they come? They came in February. And for those of you who are connected with the ELCA, that they're the Synod to Synod companions that came to visit. So the Rocky Mountain Synod, the Southwest Pennsylvania Synod, West Virginia, West Maryland, and the South Central Illinois Synod came, along with one representative from Chicago, and then myself and Timba. And we are here in Antananarivo, which is the capital city, at the Ilu Fav, which is the women's center, kind of the headquarters of women's things and women's training, both Bible and hands-on, handicrafts, cooking, hair, different mechanisms in which to make a living.
I notice you're wearing a collar. Is that you?
You notice I'm wearing a collar?
Is that you with a collar there?
This lady here?
Oh, yeah. And not you?
Yeah, it is me.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. I wear a collar a lot.
Yeah.
Maybe you can talk a little bit about this. I want you to notice who's wearing a collar. That man, one woman, that man. You think I'm not putting a collar on? Yeah. I've got nothing against men, but I live in a context where men are here and women are here. We do what we can.
You're trying to work against that some way. So, yeah.
You know, I don't know that we're, I don't know, I don't think we're working against that or I'm trying to work against that, but because I can't tell you what to do. I can't tell you what to think. I'm never going to try to do that. But I can be a reminder that there's another way. There's another possibility. Because I wear that collar, I have had women, some of these up here, who've come up to me and just kind of stared. I've had women touch my collar.
I suspected that was something significant.
Yeah. It's a dream for the church to ordain women there, right? But I contest that there are many women in Madagascar who have been ordained by a higher authority than the church. But that's just mine. So this one right here in particular, just make that point. Yeah. So God and the ancestors. Yeah. Wow.
The baobabs.
God's done baobabs, yeah, that's what these are. God's done some really creative handiwork in Madagascar, these baobab trees. You know, God planted all of everything around in Madagascar, just like he did around Holden, or she did, or whoever God is, did. But you know, there's a thing in Madagascar is the devil gets in the way sometimes. I don't know if the devil gets away. Does the devil get in the way in America anymore? I don't know, but definitely does in Madagascar, because you know what he did? He came to found every single one of these baobab trees and plucked them out of the ground, turned them over, and planted them. That is why they look like this. Yeah, that is exactly why they look like this. And that's what people can tell you. Look at that guy. Looks a little menacing. But you know what? You got to watch out. Even those that look menacing might be your relatives or your ancestors. There's a village, it's reported, I've not been there yet. It's a village in the northern part of the country where long, long, long ago, there was a man walking through the village and he was thirsty. He'd been walking for hours and hours, maybe days and days, and depending who you've been talking to, weeks and weeks and weeks. And he came into the village so thirsty and he said, "Can I have some water? Can I have some water?" "No, no. Can I have some water?" "No." Everyone says no. Till finally one woman stands up and says, "I will give you water." And immediately, everyone, the man disappeared and everyone of the land was swallowed up by the lake. She alone was left. And somehow, she has managed to repopulate that whole land. But those people that were swallowed up, they got turned into crocodiles. So they're our ancestors, and we must remember them. So once a year in this village, they sacrifice a zebu, a cow, and feed it to the ancestors. We must appease and keep happy our ancestors.
They still keep people away from the water, too.
Pardon that?
Keep people away from the water. You want to get...
The crocodile?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? There's certain parts of the island where there's not... up in the north, there's a lot of crocodiles, but there's certain parts of the island where you go crocodile spotting. I've done this like 3 times on this one island, and I went scouting it once, and I took the 2 groups of volunteers down through it. And it's crazy because you go down this river, which is just gorgeous, but you go down this river on this boat to spot crocodiles, and then when the day is over, they have you camp on the beach right alongside of the the river. So I don't think the crocodiles are too numerous or too much of a threat. So a reciprocal love strengthens our relations. Fiovanana, yeah. We'll come back to that. So the kids. I say that the kids are everywhere in Madagascar. This is a picture from Christmas last year. Kids are everywhere. Anyone have any idea what percentage of the population is under 14 in Madagascar? Take a wild guess.
50%.
50%. Any other guesses?
6, 7.
Well, you're ambitious, but 40%. 40% is under 14, and 60% of the population is under 24. There are children everywhere. And there are lots of problems mounting behind that reality, and because of that reality. That. Rice. I'm going to show you this video not as much to see the water. This is why I actually took the video, but so you can get a sense of how rice is cultivated and how it is seen. Turn the volume down. But this is in the middle of the country. These are all every single one of those fields is rice. Isn't that gorgeous?
Not a golf course?
Not a golf course. Do you see the people up here moving up there in the top? Oh, they just went up. Yeah, I think there's like maybe one or two golf courses on the whole island, at least that I'm aware of. I don't really do a whole lot of five-star traveling. So, but this is the cultivation method for, or the maybe not cultivation, the growing method or the growing landscape that rice is throughout the central part of the island. As we go out to where it flattens out, of course, then everything looks a little bit different. But rice is kind of everywhere. And so are kids. Look at it. She came when she was checking me out. She didn't want to get too close, but she was checking me out that whole time.
Kirsten.
Yes.
Is the rice for export or for local consumption?
The rice is the main food that we eat in Madagascar. And for some people, it is just plain white rice, nothing else. Mm. You eat often, if you're having meat, say, with rice, maybe that might be an ounce of meat. A really big deal would be like 2 ounces of meat. Vegetables. But I have a woman who cooks for me at my house, which is a real kind of a standard reality in the context like I'm in. And that would be just as... make me really clear, it would be considered almost shameful for me to come in as a woman with any sort of ability to support somebody else and give them an honorable income and not allow them to do that. But she's a wonderful woman. I'm so glad she's with me. But it's interesting as we're talking about food, and she's gotten used to working with Americans. She's actually been a helper, as they're called, to Americans since, I don't remember, I guess it's 35 years. But even at this point is still thrown by how much vegetable or meat I might prefer over the literal mound of rice that is a standard way of existing. So rice is really, it is central to the culture. It's what people eat. Everyone knows how to plant, how to cultivate it. If you are traveling around, you start asking questions, they know. When you're traveling around, you'll start to see groups of people even now. Sometimes even more, I don't know if the rest of my picture, but even more obvious, where you'll have like lines out of people planting all in a row. And what they're doing usually is, okay, today is this person's, next day is the next person's. We're going to work in a real community, our communal way to get this job done. So that's what the rice looks like as it gets close.
Is there individual land ownership or is it community owned?
It's hard sometimes to get real direct answers to things and understand, and I'm 2.5 years there, so we're working through that. More and more, I used to think that it was people had little plots of land, but I think what I'm understanding is that there's a lot of people, or there's a few people who own a lot of land, and a lot of people who are working on other people's land, if that makes sense. Yeah. They take it up. And then they eat it, rice. So just an example, like this is a big bowl of rice that someone would eat in the Malagasy setting, and this is what they would serve you as a Westerner because they know that you won't eat any rice, and they give you all the rest of the meat. Yeah. Or not that you won't eat it, you just won't eat as much. So, yeah. Cows are really important. I think that comes influence of coming over from Africa. The rice seems to come their influence from Asia, but the cows, you'll see them everywhere. They're not walking around freely like you are in like in India, nothing like that, where it's just they're just wandering. They will always have tenders, people tending to them as they go through. But yeah, they're very gentle. You can be in and amongst them. This is a cow that was literally following us on a trail that we were walking a couple months ago. So, mura mura. So, yeah, sometimes I think the mora mora comes from, from lack. Sometimes I think it comes from creativity. Sometimes I think it comes from just a much more connectedness to the earth and to each other. But either way, things sometimes, and almost, not sometimes, things just move slowly, very slowly in Madagascar. This is a really typical way in transport. This gentleman actually asked me to take his picture. It took me a year to get it to him, the copy of it after. But this is a really typical way in the countryside. Though you saw earlier, there's plenty of cars and very modern, in a very modern reality. So this is one step up, you know, a lot of just walking around the way. Yeah. So for Folly, I thought I would just show you some fun things. There's people on the island, and that's the most important part, but there's also beautiful lemurs and many other species. These are all my pictures. Like, I've gotten this close to these animals. So this guy right here is one of the bigger lemurs that they have. And just because it's fun, this is a video of the lemur singing. Sorry if it makes you dizzy, but somewhere over here is going to come up the lemur. There he is. Watch him, because he'll jump. Do you see that?
Yeah.
So that's a lemur. They go through. A few more of them. Just to give you an idea.
Wow.
That's a locust, actually. Some of God's handiwork, I'd say. Can you see that one?
Yeah.
That's actually one of the least camouflaged versions I've seen. But, you know, you have to be able to see it in the picture.
What is it?
A bark gecko. It's a bark something. Sorry.
It has fingers like a gecko.
Yeah. Whoops. Some beautiful pieces. Yeah. So, anyway, I think that's kind of where I though. So it's just a little, kind of feel like I flew through a whole lot of different things. Yeah.
Are the people in Madagascar considered to be a separate culture from Africans, or are they African?
They are. It's a country of Africa. Okay. It's a country of the African continent, and it is. But Malagasy people see themselves as very separate, generally, and some people. Depending on who you talk to, you know, there's definitely a variety of opinion. But you will hear people. I am Malagasy, just really clearly,
and
distinct.
Is the language different from the African languages?
Yeah, the language is Austro-Indonesian, so it has very different roots than its neighboring countries. Yeah. Yes.
Could you say a little bit about the religious diversity, or people who are not Lutheran, or
yeah, you mean you want something besides Lutheran?
I just don't know.
Yes, no. It's 24 million people.
Wow.
On the island, 42% are Christian, and that is pretty evenly divided between Lutheran, Reformed, and Catholic. So that means Lutherans, you know, all those are 3.5-4 million people, right, when you do all that math. About 8% Muslim, And the remainder is indigenous.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's interesting.
Yeah. Any other questions? You know what I didn't do? Sorry. But you guys are really set because I brought chocolate from Madagascar. So everyone who left just kind of missed out here. But so take some. Take some, enjoy. Some of them are plain chocolate or dark chocolate, and another has a different kombava, which is a spice, if you will, from that island. Yeah. Yeah, so the fabrics are all different. Some of them are, like this is a tube. Some of them are just a piece of fabric. So, here we are. Yeah. They're worn in many different ways. You know, they can be worn, as you saw, as a skirt. They can be worn as a dress. They can even, men sort of do like a, thing with them in different climates. Sometimes they're even worn as a sash, particularly by the men. Women, when they have them in a tube, you will often... Sorry about the volume, even tie. Like this. Do a little lip thing and wear that. Sometimes you wear it with hats, depending on where you are. This is a countryside. This is man's hat. Usually bends up more. This is a guy's hat too. Not your...
Looks like a clown hat.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Different tribes? Or
they're all different tribes. This is a...
Android, the top one.
Yeah, exactly.
They must have small heads.
They do, because these are all adult ones. I have one child one in here somewhere.
Wow.
But yeah. So all those different things. Antimoro. Yeah, and if you want to take a, you know, get a closer look at them, some of them are really, the basket weaving is so interesting and so precise and particular.
Intricate,
yeah. And many people know how to do this type of work. So like that hat you're holding right there, I think I bought that for like 50 cents on the side of the road, or the equivalent, maybe.
It took them a long time.
It could have had to have taken them forever. I didn't negotiate, I just bought the piece that they had, right? So, yeah.
Are there big cities like with buildings and stuff? We've basically seen villages.
Yeah. The Antananarivo is the capital.
I saw one.
Yeah, there's one. Yeah, it's just like, everything is different, so it's hard to give a, there's no one picture of Madagascar,
there's
but definitely.
That big city.
Yeah, and Antananarivo is like 1.4 million is what I hear.
It's a big city.
It's loud, it's dirty, it's a big city.
Employment product besides rice, which is eaten everywhere.
Rice? Is like the, you know, what's above board? Rice, vanilla,
chocolate
a little bit, you know, coffee, yeah, some of those. There's a lot of just mining and lumber, but I don't know that all of that's even above board. Some of it is.
Rio Tinto
is there.
Is that right?
Yeah, in the southern part of the country. They've got a whole elaborate new facility that seems to be more on up and up. But there's a lot of mining and gem hunting, and none of that, virtually none of that is clean.
No diamonds like South Africa?
Sapphires are a big deal.
Oh.
But they're very dirty. Yeah.
You talked about last night in your sermon about mm-hmm. dangerous.
Yeah.
So say something more about that.
That was dangers.
Fear.
Fear. What do I want to talk about? There's a few dangers. I mean, I'll say this. The ELCA is not going to send its young adults to a place that is too dangerous. Won't happen. But within that, there are places that we do not go to, like flat out. There's one place I would love to go to because I know so many of the church leaders and they're doing really great dynamic work. But in order for me to get there, I would either need to helicopter in or have a military escort on the ground. The danger are a group called the Dehalu, these cattle that we've talked about, these cows. People from certain tribes steal cows from each other to prove manhood. But that has kind of rolled into also then a secondary or sort of like a gang or mafia activity. So they are stealing cows and home invasions and all sorts of things. They are the drug runners. They are the weapon runners of the country. So there are certain areas where that is happening, and we're just Petuka. Not Petuki, but Petuka. Petuka, excuse me. Big, big, big problem right now. So.
And when you say that there is powerful ministry happening mm-hmm. there, how does that look then?
That looks like people reaching out to people from the Dehalu, people from the ancestral worship community, connecting, talking, getting them to understand another way of being in the world, opening up communication, to listen to some of the leaders down there that are working. They call it evangelism. It is evangelism, but their way in is completely relational. It's really, really quite beautiful. Yeah, yeah. So.
Yeah. What do the Yagams do?
What do the Yagams do? The Yagams, for the most part, teach English. And periodically, just the last couple of years, we've had a nurse come and serve as a nurse within the clinics, too. The church in Madagascar right now is about 3.7 million people, Lutherans. That means about 6,000 congregations.
Wow.
And multiple ministries from the schools, the clinics, environmental ministries, farming, women's centers, young adult centers, all these different places. So we connect within those different ministries. And we work with the church to say, where do you want your people, or where, what can... I mean, it's kind of a give and take, kind of a negotiate. What will work well? How can we actually be of service?
So with the English teachers, do schools or programs apply to you to have an English teacher come?
We have kind of yes and no. We have a pool of sites that we work with. So some of that was, I'm the second country coordinator in the program in Madagascar. So some of that was already established coming in. But we're continually kind of looking for new places. Like right now, I've got a couple of sites that the Dehalu, I'm hearing rumors, have gotten into that area. And if they're there, we're done. And so so we kind of a constant assessment of where, what other opportunities might be. So, yeah.
But they go into existing programs.
We go into existing programs. So this is an accompaniment model. We go with the church every move. So, yeah.
So you talked about the population earlier mm-hmm. being very, very young. Now is that because disease takes the elderly, or is there just a mushrooming population, more children being born, children being treated, or medical, so that not as many die? Why is the population mushrooming?
Yeah, I can't give you all the specifics of that. That wouldn't be my area of expertise. But what I could say is that I don't see very many old people. And I've been at many funerals of people 60s, 60 to 70. Like that's, and no one's shocked by that. That's just sort of life. People do die, and they die earlier, and of my experience anecdotally within the clinics is they die of things that we would never think of.
Malaria is a big one.
Malaria, you know, even, and so treatable.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what's just crazy is that malaria treatment doesn't cost but like 30 cents. Yeah. Hmm. You know, and that kind of thing gets in the way of people existing.
Is there much HIV?
No, it is present, but I've had some conversation with some people. They're doing some research to figure out. They're actually shocked that it's not more present because there's a lot of sexual tourism in the island. So it's kind of, they're like, what is there even a potential genetic reason why this, the spread isn't? But yeah, I don't. It's present, but it is not like the mainland at all, nowhere near. Mm-hmm.
Does any of that touch where you're at?
More of the hunger dollars. And in, I don't know that malaria is less of a problem now than it was in earlier times. I mean, when missionaries first got there, oh my gosh. I wonder how many of the gravestones of missionaries are strictly because of malaria. But, I mean, it still is definitely a piece, but it's, the hunger is a bigger piece. Yeah. Yeah.
Have you dealt with any environmental issues? Because there's so many endemic species in so many different ecosystems.
Yeah. So, and we'll talk more about some of these things we're going to talk more about on Friday, by the way, and more in depth, if you're still interested in them. But, what I see is there is a lot of logging that has happened in a lot of areas. A lot of slash and burn agriculture that happens. There's even sometimes people will go and burn land because they don't want the government or the other illegals to get it. Kind of, if I can't have it or if it can't burn, help our community, it's not going to be for you either. So you can't go to Madagascar and not see it. Yeah, well, there are, and it's complicated. It's really complicated, because why do people slash and burn? Because there's more mouths to feed.
Yeah.
Right? You know, it's a multi-layered situation. So there are a couple of different places. Mandasi Bay is one that's coming to mind. And then there's one further south, Rana Mafana. And both of those, Rana Mafana is actually hugely connected with the Americans and the U.S. Embassy. But they're trying to work with the communities, the people, and convince them to kind of become part of the project and see the value of tourism as a revenue source and a way to make money as opposed to all the maybe indigenous ways that they were existing before. So there are things happening. I don't know that it's turned the tide, but it exists. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do they have medical resources that they need, or just are immunizations and things like that?
Yeah, so again, anecdotally, and I would say that it's, yeah, that babies don't make it the way we're used to here. I think one of the things that's shocking for our volunteers that work in the clinics is how little emotion people seem to express with a stillbirth or another form of infant death. And maybe that's also partly why so many babies are, you know, being born. to just expect and accept that. Yeah, I know in the South and near Manambaro, which is the clinic that we work with, they do get out and to try to work and get immunizations. There are many NGOs on the ground that have taken that as their goal and mission, if you will. Yeah.
So you spoke very highly of some of the women earlier, but said that women can't be ordained there. So how is the congregational life, how does that look, congregational life? You have pastors there who are all male. And how what's the role of women in the church?
Well, it's sort of similar to here in the way that there's women all over the church, and the women are the ones getting everything done. not that the guys aren't doing
okay,
their stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, women are very involved. And again, on Wednesday, we'll talk about, if you're interested, we're going to talk about the Fifuwasana, which is the revival movement of the church. Mm-hmm. And that has been largely, like 80% female-driven. And that's also the movement that is building and growing the church. It has for decades. Yeah, and really lives the church as the gospel, lives the gospel as I read the gospel anyway.
Do they value education past a certain like to what age, or do they go into higher education at all?
Education is valued in certain places and different ways. But you have to pay for education. And if you are making $2 a day, which 90% of the population makes that or less, and 78% of the population makes $1.25 a day or less, you make choices. And no matter how much we just stick to it, just go for it, it doesn't equate. The math doesn't work. The statistics don't pan out. I mean, these aren't stupid people. They have eyes. They know how to think. So sometimes, yeah, education gets sort of, why?
Even elementary or young kids, do they learn to read?
Yeah, I don't know what the literacy rate is. But there are kids that never go to school. There are kids that go to school very little. You'll see kids on the side of the road. I said that the cows were always tended by people. Sometimes those people are little. I think it's about the shortest I've seen one of them tending cows. Yeah, there's no options. There's no choices. It's a luxury for us to consider that how important is education. I think they value me being there because I represent the church and in the relationship that is. And I represent resources that come in the form of volunteers. Yeah.
So you obviously out here, how long after you get a break from all that?
I have 4 weeks of vacation in a year.
So you come and work.
Yes, I come and work, yeah. This actually, every other year we come to back to the United States to talk about the work that we're doing. So, and this is one of those years. And on a typical year, I wouldn't be able to take the time to make this lovely trek. So, yeah.
So is there a term to your assignment there?
4 years, yeah.
And then will you rotate to a different country?
I'll tell you in 2 years.
Yeah.
yeah, I don't know. So let's see what God has in store. I wasn't really thinking about this all that long before I went initially.
Right.
So.
I've
just wondered if that was typical.
I don't know that there's a typical.
Because you're only the second one there.
Yeah. Yeah, the program, though, is YAGM has been going since 1999, mm-hmm. But Madagascar, 2014, or 2012 is when it started. Yeah, I'm not sure. No typicals. Yeah.
Well, the whole mission work used to be very different from the beginning.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
You know, and the past, the missionaries, lots of times were the, they had a whole district of pastors to visit.
Mm-hmm.
And they were sort of like the church president.
Yes. Yes, it is.
At first, they usually the missionaries took care of all the money.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah.
So it's been a changing thing.
Yes. Yeah.
Now they're really totally independent. You know, and actually, we were out there two different sessions.
Uh-huh.
Starting to turn over the church completely to the local,
mm-hmm.
and have a whole staff in the capital that was Malagasy.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people were saying, well, you know, what are these pastors going to do? The church isn't going to grow as much because if they can't get around as much.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't all afford cars. There were few that had cars,
mm-hmm.
because of their position.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then we were home for 11 years till we got our kids through college,
mm-hmm.
and went back. And it was amazing the way the church had grown.
Yeah.
The churches were overflowing.
Yes.
And like on Easter, there'd be people hanging on the windows.
Yes.
And some of the bigger churches had two services, which was unheard of. You know,
some of them have three.
Yeah, mm-hmm. now, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the Malagasy are very religious.
Yeah.
And then when that religiosity becomes Christian, they really believe and they really trust they get up, you know, that there are friendly people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in general.
Oh, definitely.
Of course there's always those that aren't.
Wherever we go there are humans, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So well,
and it was really fun to come back after 10 years.
Oh, I bet.
Some of the, you know, people that my husband had taught, especially in Bible schools and things, or in the seminaries, and here they were the big wheels, you know,
mm-hmm.
to see them like, change like that.
Yeah, 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 it's great.
How many young people do you have right there, right now there?
It'll be 10. Yeah. Yeah, we're in the in between. The last group just went. The next group will be there in a week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So.
How long do they stay?
For a year, mm-hmm. or 11 months. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do they get any kind of boot camp before they come?
Well, they arrive in Chicago tomorrow, and they do like an intense, like all the whole program together. And then when they come to our countries, or specific countries, we meet them and then. In Madagascar, we're together for 3.5 weeks, mm-hmm. talking about language, culture, all the various things that they need to, safety, mm-hmm. water, that they need to consider.
So they basically have 11 months been in their assignment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's the program called?
YAGM, Young Adults in Global Mission. go to elca.org and you can just type that in, it'll come up. 21 to 29-year-olds. Bring them on. Thank you very much.
Thank you.